Is it time to up your social media game? Then you need to talk to Kate and Ave Communications, a social media agency located right here in Edmonton, specializing in all things social media, from quality storytelling, content creation, and strategic social media management. So stop doing social media off the side of your desk. Contact Kate and Ave at kateandave.com and give them a follow on Instagram at kateandavecomms, C-O-M-M-S, for great social media content, tips, and tricks. Hello and welcome to The Bits. This is Paulina.
And this is Quinn.
And we have no Claire today, but that's okay. We have a quickie for you guys.
It's just a bit of a bit. Something like that. Yeah, Claire is actually wrapped up in a burrito in her bed, concerned about the Oilers.
Yeah. Well, she is all of us. So let's talk about the We love to talk about this around this time of year. Let's discuss the panic meter.
This is such a November thing to do, hey? How November of us, Edmonton?
Yeah, I was on a call with someone yesterday, and they're like, how about they live in Calgary. They're like, how about them Oilers, you know, as people like to say in rifle cities.
Right.
And I was like, kill me now. I don't know. Kill me now. That's really all I have to say. So panic meter. You are our forever optimist, so I'm curious where you're at on said meter.
You know what? I will say I am starting to get concerned. I'm building a bit of apathy. Like, I just, my give a shit meter, to be quite frank, is pretty low. Yeah. Sold my tickets on Tuesday below face value, but also just very glad I sold them before that Dallas game in which they lost 8-3.
Yeah. Before you sold those tickets, you did invite me to the game, and I wasn't able to make it. And
Thank God. I'm
very relieved that we didn't end up going to that game. Mind you, we always have a good time. We always have a good time regardless. But like, oh, what a shitty, like, that's just the shittiest way to lose, like to lose that badly.
And I was already at the Colorado game. So I didn't need another 8-goal, 9-goal performance from the visiting squad. So it's like I deep down knew.
Yes.
But here's the thing. Here's why I am not going to panic a ton. I mean, first of all, let's just kind of go through a bit of what's happening right now. So the Edmonton Oilers goaltending hit a franchise worst mark.
Yep.
Not seen since their first ever year. So their 860 save percentage is the worst in the history of the organization through 25 games, that is. So goaltending is, once again, a very, very hot topic. So my concern level, the reason I'm not freaking out right now is I do have to give grace to the schedule. That was a really crazy long road trip, very little downtime. Now they have a couple days off. They will be playing Saturday. This may be when you're listening to it. So maybe they're playing tonight, but they're going to have some practice time, which they haven't had. And considering the defensive flubs, you know, like a lot of the goals, I'm not going to blame on goaltending. I mean, you need to get some saves, but they need to practice right now, obviously, because they need to figure out their defensive zone coverage.
Yeah, it is getting a little bit, not even a little bit, it's getting dire for the goaltending defense zone. And as a Stu defender, I'm kind of just wondering what's going on there. Like, what do you think's going on with Stu?
I mean, goaltenders are notoriously heady. Of course they would be, right? Because it's just such an interesting position. I mean, one thing I have to say is, and this is just a jab at all the fans that were like, kill Dustin Schwartz, get him out of there. Well, he's gone. So I'm going to go ahead and say that it's probably not the goaltending coach. But anyways, I think... He's in his head, I think. And, you know, unfortunately, he's been let out to dry a few times with some of the 10 bell chances that other teams have had. But he's not making saves. And
there's some options. There's some.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're do we want to go through kind of like what we're...
Yeah, I mean, I have some theories.
Okay, give them to me.
Okay, one, he has the flu.
Like the never-ending flu?
A very long flu.
Are we worried about his heart health then?
The longest flu that ever was. Yeah. Okay, there's another theory going around. Maybe you've heard of it. He has found himself in a Freaky Friday situation. He has accidentally switched bodies with, Lord knows, somebody who can't save a goal.
Yeah.
Somebody who can't goaltend to save their life. He has Freaky Friday'd with his son, Bo, which is a baby. And Bo's out there like, I have no practice. I don't know how to do this.
Yeah. You know what? I always love a Freaky Friday theory.
Yes.
I often bring those to the table. Yeah. Pardon?
I can't wait for the movie about this exact situation when it all comes out that he has, in fact, Freaky Friday'd. And
with
we're
his
all
son,
like,
his
what's
baby.
Going on with Stu out there? And it's like, oh my God, you guys, it was a baby trapped in a man's body the whole time.
Okay, who plays Stu in the made-for-TV movie?
Somebody incredibly hot.
Right.
Oh my God, that's such a good question. And now I feel on the spot.
I know, you're going to have to think about it. Like the first one that kind of jumps at me is Alexander Skarsgård. Just
oh my
his
God.
Handsome level.
Yeah. Alexander Skarsgård isn't like
big enough.
Yeah.
That's my thing. It would be Skarsgård's face, kind of, just that handsomeness, but he's not, even his face isn't big enough.
Okay, I'm gonna throw one at you. Okay, you remember Tim Riggins from Friday Night Lights? Taylor Kitsch plays him.
Yeah, okay.
You know, Taylor Kitsch also a little smaller than Stu, but like he could beef up for the role.
Yeah.
Like and he's got the flow. He's got the hair. I mean, at least he did when he was in Friday Night Lights, which is the last time I really watched
him. Which would have been in the early 2000s.
Yeah. But you know what? I bet he's still hot. And he is Canadian. I'm pretty sure he's from Kelowna.
Okay, well, you know, I'd love a Canadian boy. He'd understand, obviously, the hockey edge. You know, he's already played an athlete.
Yes.
You know, but if we're going to go, like, big enough face bulk, Channing Tatum.
Oh, I love Channing. Like, I could never say anything bad about Channing Tatum, and nor would I. Like, I love
no,
that.
What would be the point? There's
okay,
not much
so,
to bring
you know-
up. So we've got a good list of... Like, but who plays baby Bo, I guess?
We don't have tabs on the most upcoming toddler actor of the time. So it's impossible to know. It's impossible to cast Bo right now.
Yeah, that baby is just being born as we speak.
No, Bo. Yeah, that baby is already born and about to start their spectacular career as an actor with their breakout hit in Freaky Friday, the Stu Skinner story.
I'm also thrilled we both hit that.
My only other theory is that he's trapped in an oil painting. The real Stu is trapped in an oil painting somewhere and he cannot escape and somebody needs to release him from
break into the Louvre, get it back.
Where are those Louvre guys? Because we have a job for you. We
those
need to
handsome fellas. We've got
we need
some
to
things.
To our goalie, it's dire. He's trapped in an oil painting and he can't get out. Ever since he went to Europe in the summer, he's been trapped in that oil painting in the Louvre, and who knows who's taken over Stu's body right now, but it's not the goalie that we see in the playoffs. But you know what? I do have a solution. I do have a solution, and this just came to me, for the Oilers' goaltending issues.
Okay.
I'm going to have a son. I'm going to have a son, and I will train him from birth to become the best goalie in the NHL. because we have no goalies. We're so light on goalies in the NHL. We need goalie stars, and I'm willing to take that on.
You know, like I was going to say, I'm not sure like why Clark isn't an option, you know, just,
because
you know,
she can't play in the NHL.
She'll play in the PWHL. You're yes. right. You're very correct.
She's already going to be a star. We know that.
Yeah.
She's going to be a star, but I mean, maybe she's like that good that they'll just,
like, I just think
a woman,
like,
to play in the NHL.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. There was another goalie, Menno Raume, who played a few games. So it's not unheard of.
What unheard of? That's right. I forgot about that. Okay.
Yeah. She randomly follows me, or like added me on LinkedIn.
Oh, that's a cool flex. What's
right?
on LinkedIn? Okay.
Her on the bits?
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, you guys are LinkedIn connections.
I mean, it seems like a natural fit here. Okay. Well, I'm going to do a cold reach out.
Okay.
An ice cold reach out.
Ice cold.
I'll be like, Menno.
Well, because she added you. So.
Exactly.
Already
Menno, thanks
going.
For joining the Quinn Phillips squad. You know, obviously you knew what you're doing. And now, as your initiation, you have to come on the bits.
Send her a DM. Be like, hey, what's her name?
Menno.
Menno. Hey, Menno. Do you want to increase your sales by 13? I can't even.
Oh, like a LinkedIn message. I've never sent one.
In DM.
I wouldn't know how to.
I don't do them. Okay. So... But just quickly on Stu and the goaltending. So your panic meter is like for Quinn to be a little bit panicked, just so that we're clear. That means Claire and I's panic meter is the needle is wavering towards bursting out of the glass on the panic side.
Especially Claire.
Next, I am a little panicked. I'm not feeling great. But again, maintain that whole, yeah, we do this every year. But it does seem worse right now. So... I'm not feeling great, but let's just not lose 8-3. Like, let's at least make it some good games so that we have some fun ones to go for the season. Like, I'm not getting greedy. We've had a few playoff runs. I just want good games. I don't want us to get pummeled when people pay good money to go to these seats to watch us get destroyed. That's what we don't want. So let's just improve even a little bit.
Yeah, like percentage, like 1% a day, as James Clear in Atomic Habits would say, like just like 1% better every single day. Here's the thing is that I do like really see this team as having a whole ton of potential. That's the thing, you know, like Jack Roslovic was a hell of an addition. He has been so good, you know, and, you know, Evan Bouchard took a lot of heat in October and he's turned things around. In November, you know, scored some goals, is a plus player. So, yeah, I just, you know, like time is going to start to become a bit of a pressure cooker,
which
especially with like an Olympic year, it's a compressed schedule. Like it's time to take it seriously because digging yourself out of a big hole when the games are compressed is going to be a lot harder.
So here's a question. That might be a silly question, but
there are no silly questions.
We don't have silly questions here on the bits because we're allowed to be stupid. So the Olympic year, the fact that we have the Olympics coming up, do you think that is impacting in any way the focus or the attention? I don't know if that has anything to do with it. Like obviously there's players from other teams and those teams aren't necessarily getting pummeled either, but we have our star player who is also maybe has has the entire country on his back because he has to perform on a world stage soon. I don't know if that's something to consider.
Well, you know, again, I go back to my time at Global. The thing that makes Connor different than everybody and Sidney Crosby and those generational talents is their psychology. They really are psychologically superior than all of us.
Yes.
Just, I mean,
no, it's true.
Far
no,
more psychologically superior than me.
Absolutely. There's an athlete mindset and it is studied and there's a reason.
Yeah. And they take it to the next level. Their ability to just see small improvements and build on those is above everybody else. So I'd like to think not. And Connor's so strategic. Like to me, through training camp, you know, new faces, he makes himself the story, not signing a contract.
Yeah.
Just to kind of take the heat off the team while they're going through training camp. Like, I genuinely think that might have been a strategic
move.
Interesting. And so I don't want to believe that, but, you know, who knows how it impacts everybody else. But I'm going to remain hopeful. I'm putting this out there with a bit of a easier schedule. Like, they've by far traveled the most. They've traveled over 54,000 kilometers. The next top team was like 51,000 kilometers. So they've traveled a ton. And that obviously means that they haven't had a lot of time to practice. So I'm just going with practice is going to help.
And that is a good theory on it all. I mean, it's tied with Freakier Friday, but yeah. But that is a really good point. I think we can maybe trust in that a little bit, and maybe that can ease some concerns. If you're listening, Quinn says that they have had limited practice time, and practice will help the situation. So I feel better about that.
Yeah.
So I appreciate it. And then just a quick note on Stu, this goalie thing. And I've been hearing something with the St. Louis Blues. Does that have legs, do you think? I'm curious. I don't know. I keep hearing, like, it's coming up more and more. Whereas normally at the beginning of the season or earlier in the season, I was like, this trade isn't happening. I put it on the record. I just didn't see it happening. But now I'm seeing this come up a lot more.
And I'm seeing also Tristan Jarry out of Pittsburgh, who played for the Edmonton Oil Kings, won a Memorial Cup. It's so hard for me to understand why teams would trade for Stu now. You know, and so it's hard for me to believe. But maybe the St. Louis Blues are starting to have a guilty conscience about signing Broberg and Dylan Holloway. God, you know what? I've forgotten about you, Dylan.
Who is he?
Dylan.
What kind of name is that?
That's a silly name. That's a silly pickle name.
But I thought the same thing. I was like, I don't think that the St. Louis Blues organization has any guilt. I just feel like that's not a thing. So, and I know you were probably joking, or maybe you're just like because you're an optimist. Yeah. You're like, oh, maybe they have a heart in that organization after all. No, they do not. So
there's no soul.
I have a hard time believing that they would want to trade for Stu, but that Stu is still one of the better goalies, right? Because there's so few there. He's still a decent goalie, but he's not better that they're not getting anything. They're not winning that trade, as we say in fantasy football.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I guess maybe I have to think about like dressing room, you know, maybe Jordan Binnington, that big, bad, you know, fiery personality isn't working. Maybe there's something there. Maybe that's what it's about.
And who doesn't love Golden Retriever, sweet guy Stu? I mean, he's not performing on the ice, no, but he's a nice guy. We like him as a person.
Just a gentle boy.
So maybe it is about locker room chemistry. That is actually that's a good point. So, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be mad if we got Binnington.
I wouldn't be mad either. I love a fiery goalie.
I do
frankly.
Too. Yeah.
I love a temper.
I love a temper. Yeah.
A temper in an athlete, but if a man on the street threw a temper tantrum like that, I'd be like, you are a disgusting child.
Go to therapy. What is wrong with you?
You need therapy immediately, and you shouldn't have friends until you get therapy.
Yeah. We live in a society, sir. Okay. Well, we'll see. We'll keep an eye on that and see what happens. It's hard to say. I don't know. It would be a crazy trade to go down, you know, ripples of excitement probably through the city if a trade like that goes down.
Yeah, Binnington has a chance to come in and be an absolute hero immediately. And, you know, I think that he'd like that position.
Well, we love Binnington because of Four Nations.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, he was so great there. So
hero. We were like,
giddy up, here we go.
Canadian medal of, what is it? Give him that Canadian medal. Order of Canada.
Order of Canada. Yes.
Order of Canada is how we felt after that game.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what else? So we're going to wrap things up, but what are some quick things that we've been hearing? Some
quick hot topics. Well, this one is fun. Alberta gal, Tate McRae, known for wearing, I believe, her Stampeders and Flames jerseys. I'm not really sure.
She is Calgary. She
spotted.
Is
spotted. Oh, she's from Calgary?
Yeah.
I thought she was from like Grand Prairie or something. I have no idea.
Oh.
I literally, no.
I'm looking that up real quick.
You're probably right. I have no idea.
What?
But spotted out for dinner with the brother of the man in the NHL who hates his life. If you don't know who I'm talking about, she was spotted with Jack Hughes, younger brother of Canucks captain Quinn Hughes, who hates his life.
So Quinn
Hughes appears to.
If Quinn Hughes, you aren't familiar, he just always looks like he's going through it. He looks like the sad filter has been put on his face perpetually. So, and maybe it's because he plays for the Canucks. And Quinn, sweetheart, we don't blame you. We also hate the Canucks.
Yeah, it's not a good place to be, man.
Well, it's not. It seems very toxic. But then I'm hearing, you know, that he's very dedicated to the Canucks. So I don't know. It's hard, but you hear that from the Canucks organization and they're like, no, he likes it here. Which I'm
like, tell his face.
If anyone has let Quinn speak, like, does he need a rescue? SOS, Quinn, blink twice if you need help. But this is interesting. This Tate McRae thing is interesting. They were spotted at some restaurant in New York, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. He plays for New Jersey. So yeah, that would be a quick zip
that
over.
So they were spotted. The Dumois post about it, which was what was funny. Remember when we did Stumois? That was a fun episode. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Dumois had a post, said Tate McRae on a date with guy in brackets had a broken arm/wrist. The Dumois crowd isn't necessarily the hockey crowd. At Anton's in the West Village, so New York, presumably.
Yeah.
Now, they could just be friends, but they are both young stars in their respective industries. I feel like they're probably on a date.
That was a second or third date, I'm going to guess.
The way I'm studying the body language of the photo and the way that they're leaning in eagerly.
Tate's really leaning in.
Yeah, they seem like they're on a date. Looks cute. But what's funny about this too, somebody, was it on Spit and Chicklets? I'm not sure, but they were saying that Tate McRae might be a mole for Canada.
Or for Canada. Yeah, that is true. Yeah, so because Jack
is
kind of an outsider for the U.S. Olympic roster or, you know, a potential.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, if Tate is doing that kind of work for us, then I might buy tickets to a concert. I don't know.
The Order of Canada.
I'll give her the Order of Canada and buy a ticket to one of her shows, which that's a stretch for me. I couldn't name a single song she sings, and I think it's country-esque, which is not going to.
I don't know that it is. I think it's pop. No?
I don't know.
So clearly we haven't really listened to Tate McRae between the two of us, but that's okay. She is born in Calgary, by the way. I looked it up.
Okay.
You know, okay, but what else is interesting about this too is and this is just another reason for sweet Quinn to hate his life. I remember a year or two ago, people were trying to ship Quinn and Tate McRae because they were having some overlap in Toronto. Like he was there for an all-star game or something and she was performing. And Sean Avery, for whatever reason, on his podcast, or he was talking about how he wants to play Cupid and have them meet up and go for dinner in Toronto. So then there was this whole thing about Tate McRae and Quinn Hughes, and maybe they should date, or maybe they were dating. So that was something that was going on the internet. But then now she's seen out with Jack Hughes. Oh my God, I just realized something. Is this the summer I turned pretty?
Oh my gosh.
It is.
And because Quinn. Conrad is Quinn.
Conrad
is Conrad.
Conrad is Quinn.
There is a misery in there.
Yes.
But he loves Tate a lot.
Okay, well, I think that everything we have just said is based in absolute fact. So I cannot wait to watch this.
This is a story we will continue to follow, biddies.
Jack, based on the fact that I've seen him smiling in more than like two photos, tells me that he's the Jeremiah in this situation.
Without a doubt. Yeah.
And Tate is going to be torn between two brothers.
Listen, and like Quinn is just Conrad, like to a T, like the captain of his team, like the old soul with responsibility. He felt like he had to, you know, raise Jack.
Oh my God.
So this is hard. So he's really glad he's on. That's the only reason he likes the Canucks is because he's on the other side of the country.
Yeah.
That's why he wants to stay.
Yeah. Yeah.
When Tate comes to and realizes that Jack is not serious.
He's staying.
And he's a frat boy.
Yeah.
I was never Team Jeremiah, just to be very clear. Did not like Jeremiah from the beginning. Okay. Anyways, when she comes to, he's going to ask for a trade to Calgary. Like he wants to be with her or like even just closer to like wherever she is, New York, Toronto, whatever, wherever she's based out of. It doesn't matter if it's close to Jack and the Devils.
Quinn is
Jack plays for the Devils. He's a devil.
No, but Jeremiah was like the nice guy. That was the problem. So now we're going to like.
That's me, personal perception. Yeah, it's more personal. I just really didn't see Jeremiah's positive.
Yeah, full disclosure, never watched the show. I just really know a lot about it because I'm deeply online. So,
I cried a few times watching that show. Not gonna lie, shed a few tears.
It's okay. This is a safe space. You're allowed to.
Absolutely.
Young adult television and weeping. But no, Quinn is obviously staying loyal to his Canadian team on the west side of Canada because Tate is
Canadian.
From Western Canada. She's from Calgary. So he is like, whenever she's coming through, then I get to see the love of my life, Tate McRae. So, oh my goodness. This podcast, just so we're clear, is now turning into a fan fiction pod. That's what this is. This is fan fiction, NHL fan fiction.
Yep. Just like, I mean, it started with the book that you read in grade 8, and here we go.
Hitman Challenge, shout out. Okay. So, anything else?
Well, I mean, we were going to touch the snowboarder, but we also said it was going to be a quick episode, so I don't really know what we're doing.
Does the snowboarder top the Summer I Turned Pretty NHL edition? No.
No.
I don't think it does.
I think this is,
there's a drug kingpin snowboarder. You guys have probably heard about it. Anyway, he's probably going to jail. There's a hunt for him. I don't know.
And like intertwined is like hockey players. And it's a hell of a story.
We will keep tabs on it. There just isn't any new information yet. So we will keep tabs on that. And hopefully there's more that emerges with this El Chapo snowboarder man.
Yeah. But really, we know people are coming back for the Tate story.
Yeah.
For the Summer I Turned Pretty NHL edition.
Oh my God, I love it. Okay, well, that was our quick little bit on the bits. Thank you for listening. Quinn, Hughes, if you're listening, no, I'm just kidding. Quinn, I'll see you on another time.
I will see you on another time.